Well, glorious hallelujah, good morning, and happy Father's Day. Are y'all alive this morning, or are you just not in yet? That's awesome. It's been a while since I stood up here. In fact, it's been over a year. And I think I'm a little bit rusty. Just so that you guys know, I make this statement when I begin. I don't take this spot lightly, because the Word says that I'm judged by a higher standard if I teach the brothers and the sisters. So I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you that my name is Walter Lee Moss, Jr. I am a prophetically motivated teacher. My ministry is teaching. That's my gifting. And so when I stand here, I stand under the anointing of the Most High God. And I strive to speak what He says to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Walter means powerful warrior, and Lee means a place of shelter or a place of peace. Why did I just go through all of that right after I said good morning? Well, I'll tell you. The name of this course is called Becoming Well Seasoned. Now, I was going to use There and Back Again, but J.R. Tolkien took that several years ago. This one is different, guys. It's really been different. Pastor John asked me about 9 months ago if I had something, and I didn't. I did not have something. In fact, I was going through a place where I didn't need to be teaching anyway. Y'all ever been there? Okay. I'm glad I'm not alone. So I was wondering, you know, am I going to get back to that place? And then I shared with my life group a couple of weeks ago that this one's different, because most of the time when God gives me something, I'm on that sucker like a hound on a coon. I'm going to run that, whatever He gives me, right straight up the tree, and I'm going to stay there until somebody shoots it or it comes down, one of the two. But this one was not that way. This one's a little different. This one is like, okay, there it is. And I'll start to take a step toward it. And wait, nope. You need to rest a minute. What? But it's right there. No. You need to rest a minute. Becoming well seasoned. Becoming well seasoned. I'm kind of a hybrid. You know, you've got all gas vehicles, and you got all electric vehicles, and then you got the one that's some gas and some electric. I said that to say that sometimes I'm digital and sometimes I'm analog. So you kind of break with me here. How many of you guys know what a concordance is? A concordance. Do you know what a concordance is? Well, for those of you who don't, that is a book that has every word in the Bible in it, and it also has what the meaning of that word was in the original Hebrew in the Old Testament and Greek in the New Testament. If you do not have one, get one. It is absolutely invaluable to your understanding of the Word of God. It will take you places that you never thought you'd go. In fact, my son Zadok, who I'm extremely proud of, but when he was 4 years old, he started to learn how to read. And then somewhere along where he was like 8 or 9, I showed him the concordance. His eyes got this big. He said, "Wow, Dad, this is so cool. Can I sleep with it?" But that's the way we need to be. We need to be that hungry after the Word of God that we just want to take it wherever we go. And if I sound like I'm rambling, I want to bring it back around because I feel like I'm rambling. What is becoming well-seasoned? What is becoming well-seasoned? Well, let me get to my analog notes here and I'll tell you. Are you ready? Brother John, you asked me earlier what the first scripture was, which is awesome because you're, you know, ready to go. But I was told earlier that this time I'm not going to give you all the scriptures. I may give you key words, and you're going to have to go look them up. I want the Holy Spirit to put that grain of salt in you that is burning there to where you can't let it go until you go find out where that is, number one, and number two, what it means. So if I don't give you a scripture, I just give you some words, go look it up. I'm going to admonish you. How many in here are taking notes? Very good. I'm going to admonish you to take notes. Terry Wilson is so awesome at giving statistics. I can't give you statistics, but I can tell you that if you don't take notes, you're going to lose over half of what has been said today, which means you might miss something that Holy Spirit has for you this afternoon. The other thing about taking notes is you need to write a date and who the speaker is so that when Holy Spirit brings back to your memory, hey, did they not say that? What was that scripture reference? If you hadn't got it written down somewhere, I'm going to tell you, as you approach 50, 60, 70, where am I going with that? It gets harder to recall, if you will. So, take notes, because I'm praying that it's not me speaking, that it's Holy Spirit, and He's given you something that you need. Here's another resource. This book right here. A.W. Tozer on the Holy Spirit. Okay? I found this about a year and a half ago, and I don't know if you can see, but there's been one or two pages dog-eared in this thing, and I hadn't got all the way through it yet, and it's a daily devotional. In fact, I want to read something. Because in becoming well-seasoned, it's a process. And there's somewhere in the Word where it says something about comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, right? Y'all recall that? Somewhere else it says, and I'll tell you this one, it's in Romans 14. A man stands or falls to his own master. Who do you have to get approval from? I'm going to tell you, there ain't nobody on this planet that you have to get approval from as far as your life. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, and Holy Spirit. So I want to read you something that that Tozer said that really spoke to me, okay? This is the March 9th entry, and it's titled, Call to Be Good, Not Great. And it's from the script. It's A.W. Tozer on the Holy Spirit. I think it's like $18, something like that, if you get it on Amazon, and maybe less than that. It's worth about a million times that anyway. But anyway, it says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. That's Matthew 12:35. And he goes, every pastor knows the plain people who have nothing to recommend them but their deep devotion to the Lord and the fruit of the Spirit that they all unconsciously display. Without these, churches could not carry on. These are the first to come forward when there's work to be done. and the last to go home when there's prayer to be made. They are not known beyond the borders of their own parish because there is nothing dramatic in faithfulness or newsworthy in goodness, but their presence is a benediction wherever they go. They have no greatness to draw them to the admiring eyes of carnal men, but are content to be good men and full of the Holy Spirit. When they die, they leave behind them a fragrance of Christ that lingers long after the cheap celebrities of the day are forgotten. It remains only to be said that not all men can be great, but all men are called to be good by the blood of the Lamb and the power of the Holy Spirit. If ever anything should bring into reckon how great we are, it's those statements. Because we may not be great in the eyes of man, but we are great in the eyes of our God. We are great in the eyes of our God. I highly recommend this. We're going to be using this later on. The other thing that that I would recommend is every once in a while, when prompted by the Spirit, change the version of the Bible that you read. Don't just stay with the King James the whole time, or New Living the whole time, or Amplified the whole time. Change. Not every day, but as the Spirit prompts you, because you will get fresh perspective on things that you have here in your heart. It will open your eyes to see, wow, there's another color. There's another meaning. So right now, and for about the last 7 or 8 months, I've been in the complete Jewish Bible. And the one thing that has stood out to me in this word is their translation of the word faith. And every time that we remember faith in the scriptures that we've memorized, they translate to the word trust. My goodness, that word is thick. Because faith enables an action from here. But trust enables a tie from one thing to the other. You need to be tied by relationship to be able to trust. For example, I happen to be an avid fisherman. And when I go out to a new place, of course, every fisherman has certain things that work for them. You trust them. Why? Because that little shad wrap that's about that long, that has an irresistible motion that big fish just can't turn down, works a lot. It doesn't work every time, but I trust that it will work because I have used it before, and I have used it many times, and many, many times it has produced nice fish. So I trust that lure. Do you see the difference? And every time this Bible goes upon those scriptures that have the word faith in them, it translates to trust. This course is going to be a little bit different. And the reason why I'm bringing up becoming well-seasoned is I believe, it's my opinion, that the teaching that has been coming forth from this house for the last 6-8 months has been a call. It's a call to action. The things that we have garnered, the things that we've harvested, the things that we've put in here, ain't gonna be long if it ain't already, there's gonna be a demand put on it. You're gonna have to give out some of the stuff that he's been putting in. You're going to have to be ready when the situation comes up that you need to lay hands on somebody, that you ain't afraid of somebody else looking at you and saying, "What are they doing?" Well, this person needs Jesus. And not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Becoming is a process. Now, some of you have heard me before know that I have this fondness for a 1940s era Webster dictionary. When language meant a lot. Yeah, so here you go. Here's what Mr. Webster in 1940 said. Become, to arrive, to happen, to turn out, to pass from one state to another, to change, to grow, to develop into, to be worthy of, or proper to. If you want some scripture references, Psalm 118, Psalm 79, verse 4, Psalm 69, verse 8. Yeah, I need to go on with this. Well, again, Webster's. In a proper manner, justly, rightly, skillfully, with due art, to a degree that gives pleasure with praise, commendably. Now, I want to stop right there. It takes some time to be well. It takes a trip here and there, a fall over there, to be well. Why is that? We're not gonna skip every stone over the creek perfectly. There's gonna be some of them that got algae on them. What happens when you hit algae on a stone? If anybody's been in the creek. You're going to fall. That's it. You got that right. You're going to fall. So what does that do? That gives you the knowledge that, hey, if I see something green on a rock, I don't think I'm going to put my foot on there. So the next time you see green on a rock, you can use the wisdom, which the applying that knowledge, not to becoming well seasoned. Seasoned is to render suitable to fit any use by time or habit, to bring the best state for use by any process. Is this bringing any scriptures in your head? Is the Holy Spirit beginning to say, hey, you know, is that, write those down, because they're for you. I don't know what they are, but they're for you. To render palatable, to flavor, to give relish or zest, to temper, to become suitable by time, to grow fit for use. When you became a Christian, you gave up your life for his life, right? Is that true? You gave up your life for his life. You gave up your possessions, your person for his person. And I ran across something, you know, everything on Facebook is true, right? I ran across something, just a little skit here and there, on the Stoics. Stoics. Look them up. There is some good attitudes from the Stoics. And one of their teachings one of the aspects of their teachings is you need to expect some resistance to your plans. You need to expect some resistance to your warfare. You need to expect some resistance. So when we became Christians, there is an entity that doesn't like that. That entity is the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call our enemy. I really don't like to give much credit to, but you do have to have a definition of. And so when you came over to the winning side, the losing side drew a target on your back. And the word says that we need to expect some resistance. I want to reiterate that we fully understand the nature of our enemy. First of all, he hates us with a deep hatred. He hates what we stand for. He hates our very lives. He will do anything that we allow to destroy us, if he can. He has no rules. He has no feelings. To get to you, he will take out things that you care about. He will take out family members that you care about, if he can. He doesn't care. He hates your children. He hates your babies. He is nasty. He is mean. And we need to see who he is for what he is. And every one of his schemes, every one of his plans, every one of those things that he wants to send our way, we need to see them for what they are. Now, I'm a fisherman. When I take my little shad wrap, like I said, that's a doggone good-looking minnow, y'all. I throw that in there to a bunch of hungry fish, and most of the time, they're going to go right for it. What do they not see? The hook. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to throw that good looking, easy to get to fish right to us without us seeing the hook. Or if we see the hook, oh, that's not going to stick. It won't hurt much. That's not going to hurt much. I'm too strong of a Christian. I'll break that hook in half. So, how do we find that out? It's through that walking. Okay. I shared last time I taught over a year ago, and some of you may remember it. But here's something that we have got to get into our minds and settled. And it was for a long, long time, it bothered me. And that's Job. And the reason why it bothered me was the very first part of the story, and you guys can go back and check it. I'm going to paraphrase it, okay? So the Bible says Job was a righteous man, right? He did everything right. He even did stuff for his kids. In fact, I think Pastor taught about it just last week or so. And then there was a day, it says, that the angels were presenting themselves before the Lord. And who was there? Satan was there. And then God made this statement, and this is why you have to have a Strong's Concordance. This is why you have to have a hunger and a desire. What did God say to Satan?
What are you doing here?
what are you doing here? And Satan told him. And then God asked him a question. Now, in our Western mind, what does that word considered mean? Thought about. Have you thought about this? Have you studied this? And for the longest time to me, I thought God was holding up Job as an example before Satan. And in my little pea brain, it hurt my heart. God, why would you do that? Why would you do that to one of your children? Why would you hold him up as an example in front of the most evil thing there is? It hurt my heart. I had a long time getting past it until I understood that word, considered. It means set your heart on. He was asking Satan, had he set his heart on one of his children? He was calling him out for what he knew the enemy was going to try to do. He said, are you looking at my son? And as a dad, if you have a daughter, you can take it to another level. Boy, are you looking at my daughter? Okay. So that's what transpired. Do you know what a relief that was? And I kept on going. But here's another thing. As we become well-seasoned, as we mature, as we start to grow, we need to remember when, and because the word says that in the earth you will have what? Trouble, tribulation. What went on from the rest of that conversation between God and Satan about Job? When you go back and study it, God set limits. He set a limit. You can do this, but you can't do anything else. You can do that, but you can't do anything else. As children of God, the tribulation that comes to us has to first get what? The approval of our Father. God, why would you let me go? I don't want to.
My first thought was, and we're worried about a broken fingernail. You know, it takes what it takes, and He knows it.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Go, John.
I've always asked a question when I read that several times, and it's very important.
Yeah.
Job 1 and 2.
Yeah.
What was Satan doing in heaven after he'd been kicked out?
That, sir, I was just studying something. In fact, David Jeremiah, who's... why was Satan in heaven if he'd been kicked out? Okay, that's a whole nother study.
Okay,
all right, wait. I'm going to give you a resource. David Jeremiah is teaching on the book of Revelation on 106.9 this past Friday. He went over some of that. It's a long kind of look at, but it will help you to see those realms. And we're talking about realms of the spirit. Oh, my goodness, guys. Whew! Thank you, John. That was a good blessing, because you're going to want to understand who you are. That's another thing in becoming well-seasoned. You know, I made the statement of who I am and what my ministry is. And making those statements, he said, and we'll go back to this again too, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, etc. The very first weapon that we need to get familiar with and not is what I'm doing right now, and that is speaking. How was the world created? Spoke it. Who are you created to be and look like? You are in the image of the Most High God. And so, therefore, our words have power. They've done a study on several different things, but one that comes to mind is plants. Okay? There was a study done that they had the same type of plant. There was like four or five here and four or five over here. And the students were instructed, the ones that had one group, was instructed to go speak over their plants negative words. Every day, you stink, you're brown, you're ugly, you're never going to get to be anything, you're terrible, I don't want you in my house. And the other group was told to speak life, good things, positive things over their plants. You're a lovely flower. I can't wait to see what you turn out to be. I love you in my house. You smell so good. You want to know what happened? I'm sure you already do. But the plants that were spoken negatively over, guess what? They did very poorly and they died. The ones that were spoken positively over, they prospered, they bloomed. So the words that we speak matter. So as we grow, as we mature, as we go out to wherever we are, we need to be mindful of the things that we speak. Because whatever we agree with, we give power to. You want to check that story out, go to the Tower of Babel. Yeah, John.
I agree with that thing on the plants.
Yeah.
Because I do just that with my garden.
A big man
yeah,
like that. That's
I need
beautiful.
It. But step back.
Okay.
Satan has to get permission from God.
Yep.
But you're talking about this speaking.
Yes.
We can give Satan also permission, foothold.
Exactly. Yes, we can.
We have to be careful what we speak.
We have to be careful what we speak. Exactly. Whatever we agree with, we give power to. Whatever we agree with, we give power to. I love this class because half of the time I'm going to be preaching to the choir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave. I can't hear you.
Job is the oldest book in the Bible.
Yes.
And back in Job's day, there was dinosaurs that ruled the world.
Okay.
He describes the giants, the leviathan, and the sea.
Yes.
And this was before the great cabal, before Satan was kicked out of heaven.
Okay.
And God was not setting Job up necessarily, but he was challenging the devil.
Yes.
Have you considered Job?
Yes.
My good servant.
Yes.
Okay. He was making a bet there, more or less, with the devil. And the devil was making a bet with him. I can take him down. No, you can't. And he was using Job as an illustration for all mankind.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
All they got to do is stand up, look to me, not to you. I will deliver them. You're not going to destroy them completely. You may damage them here and there if I allow. And the devil went trotting off, and he thought, well, I'll get him this way, and I'll get him this way, and I'll cause him to commit suicide and kill himself.
Right.
You know, take your whole family. I mean, most of us might do that. Or if your wife says, you know, go ahead and cuss God and die, you're in a miserable mess. Look at you. You're just wallowing around in the ashes, scraping and cutting and all this stuff. But he held on. And then he had his friends to come.
Yep.
Them good friends.
That's it.
And I think that's the whole key to Job.
Yep. From somebody that's walked a few miles. I don't know if you guys heard that, but John, you might want to ask David what he just said a minute ago about the timing on Satan's boundaries. But anyway, moving forward. Yes, Jim.
Along with that, you mentioned timing.
Yep.
Timing, that was back before Jesus.
Yes.
And after Jesus, Jesus said, I have overcome this.
Yes.
So we don't have to face a lot of that because he has no power. He's defeated.
Exactly. Exactly. However, Jesus also said that in the world you will have tribulation. You will have pressure. You will have these things. Why do these things come upon us?
To season us.
Mark, to season us. Why do these things come upon us? These things come upon us. Somewhere in the book of Romans, it says something about the mature, what? Sons and daughters. How do you get to be mature? How do you get to be well seasoned? You fall, you get back up. You go through things. Exactly. It's where you trust to be brought through that fire. And speaking of, this is another thing in understanding who you are and understanding where you're going and understanding who's with you. Okay. This is gonna change a little paradigm here. Who is it that is helping us today? Who is it that gives us wisdom today? The now wisdom, the today wisdom. Who is that? Exactly. We have an intercessor sitting at the right hand of the Father, who is Jesus. We have the omniscient, omnipotent creator of the universe, who only has good for everybody who loves him, and that is the Father God. But then Jesus said something. Wait a minute. Now, I do have to do a scripture here. I think it's John 14:16. Somebody want to get that? I'll see if I can't find it in here. I'm still learning how to drive this, which is really cool. All right, Mr. Jim, you read yours and I'll read mine.
I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you.
Wow, Jim, you got power, man. That's exactly right. In my version, it says, there's a little preface to that. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. That's verse 15. And then it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforting counselor, like me, the Spirit of truth to be with you forever. And then in Deuteronomy, in chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, the Lord our God is one. And I'm gonna stop with this, but it's a really good illustration of our triune God. And I heard it many, many years ago. How can He be three, but yet one. How is that possible? Well, you're absolutely looking at it, and you are all the same. I am my Father's Son. I am the Father to my children. And I am my brother's brother. I am one person with three attributes. And in the situation that I'm at, I may speak one way to my children, I may speak another way to my father, and I may speak another way to my brother. But it's all coming from the same source. Our God is one. And as we continue to grow and understand more about who He is and who He wants us to be, we'll be walking more in that seasoning. And next week, I think I'm still here next week. Next week, we'll talk about sharing that seasoning. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all. Happy Father's Day.